The impact of this story is directly related to the intimacy of connection between the listeners and with the hemorrhaging on the one hand and the Jairus, the elder of the synagogue, on the other, and Jesus. The story begins with, you know, Jairus, an elder in the synagogue, coming and falling at Jesus' feet and begging him to come and heal his daughter, who is on the point of death. It's probably not possible to overdo the degree of his anxiety and of his pleading with Jesus in terms of its emotional intensity, that he would come and lay hands on her. So the scene is set then for the woman's touching him by the crowd all going along and pressing in on Jesus so that, you know, it's a typical rock star syndrome of or a politician or whatever, being, you know, surrounded by large crowds. The woman, description of her situation, is highly intimate. You know, this is all an inside view. And so you're describing what it is that has been her experience. You know, all these doctors, all these years. It's very quiet, very intense, and shows the degree of her desperation for help, but also her confidence in Jesus. And so even the healing, after she touches his garment, she knew in her body that she had been healed, is very intimate and very quiet. So you want to have that tone of intimacy and of interior participation in her experience. Later, when she comes and falls at his feet, same dynamic is present. But there, she is anticipating that he will condemn her. What she has done is she has broken the law. She's made him unclean because of her uncleanness. And so for her to touch him then made him unclean. That's why she only touches the edge of his cloak or his garment. But doesn't matter. According to the law, she's made him unclean, and he rightly could be very angry at her and condemn her for what she has done. Instead, he blesses her. He apparently doesn't care about whether or not she made him unclean. He doesn't seem to pay much attention to those things. What he's concerned about is her. And he even addresses her as his daughter. My daughter would be a better translation than just daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So what Jesus does is that she figures that she is going to be further ostracized, as she was as a woman with a flow of blood. She could not, for example, sit on a chair in a house because anybody who sat on that chair would be unclean. She couldn't cook. She had virtually been ostracized from the whole society because of her condition. What Jesus does is to restore her to full social integrity and acceptability in the community. And so when he says, your faith has made you well, go in peace, he is establishing peace in her life. His final injunction is, and be healed permanently of your affliction. That word, for some reason, is not translated in the NRSV, but it is present in the Greek. The implication that his prayer for her, his blessing, is that she be healed permanently from this affliction. The story of the daughter is also a story of radical social inclusion, but of a different character. Jairus, as the leader of the synagogue, has full permission to ask Jesus for his help, but clearly people assume that because she's already dead, that he doesn't need her, and they even make fun of Jesus when he says that she isn't dead but sleeping. Jesus' injunction when they come back and say, your daughter is dead, why trouble the teacher anymore, is don't be afraid, only believe. And so the contrast here is between fear and belief. And so they go with him. When Jesus comes and they are mourning, you can't overdo the scene. the grieving in Middle Eastern culture over a child who has died is just, you know, it's a crescendo. It's a climax of sound and weeping and wailing. So it's a huge, you know, commotion, virtually a civil riot. So when Jesus comes and there's all this going on, which was normal at funerals and in the immediate aftermath of a death. So Jesus' injunction to not be afraid, but simply to believe, is also an injunction in relation to those who are grieving. And they laugh at him when he says that she isn't dead but is sleeping. So it makes him the subject of mockery. When they go in to where the child is, he takes with him the parents and those who are with him. So there were six of them who went into the room. Jesus is quiet and goes over and takes her by the hand. So you want in your gestures and in your voice to indicate this coming to her and taking her by the hand and then speaking to her very softly. Talitha kumi. Talitha kum. Which means the little girl, come, get up. And so she got up and started walking around. Now, notice that the first thing is that she got up and she started walking. And then he has to explain to the listeners who are wondering, well, now, how does this little girl walk if she's such a little girl? And he has to explain. Now, remember, she was 12 years old. So don't be surprised at that. The final note of this is that they are amazed, and Jesus tells them to be quiet and to tell no one. But then the climax of the story is he suggested that they might give her something to eat because she's fine and she hasn't eaten in a while. But it's a delightful note at the end of the story.